Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, like the man said, hosting Right Side Radio. And if you find yourself, by the way, driving outside of the broad range of WVNN's AM-FM capability, which means you're pretty much out of North Alabama and South Tennessee, just know you can follow us anywhere. We got people all over the place, other states and all, that follow the show daily. And you can go to rightsideradio.org and just click Listen Live, and wherever you is, there we is. Well, folks, I want to go to the phone right away, and a friend of mine who I served with in the state Senate, who I think the world of, State Senator Arthur Orr, is a budget chairman representing Senate District 3. He assumed office first in 2006 and is literally been there. And by the way, most recently scored one of the few that scored 100% on Alabama Policy Institute's legislative scorecard. State Senator Orr, thanks for calling in, man. How are you today?
Thank you, Phil. Good to be with you. Doing fine. Hope the same goes for yourself.
We're doing well, man. Hey, listen, I saw your interview the other day with Jeff Poor down at 106.5 on the coast, talking about the idea of pushing for tax cuts. And that was perfectly in line with the theme of the first part of today's show for me. And I wanted to get you on to talk about it. So first of all, give me the gist of why you think now might finally be a time to see a pretty reasonable tax cut that could benefit individuals and businesses.
Well, we're looking at double-digit revenue growth year over year. We've got a lot of commitments, Phil, that we need to fulfill. I think that pay raises for educators and some of the commitments that we've made regarding programs and things like that we will need to address those and take care of those commitments. But after those are done, I believe we may have enough money if COVID is not running rampant and hurting our revenues. Then I think it's time for us to really get serious about looking at a tax cut. I'm not beholden to any particular plan or idea. I've been working on some thoughts that I certainly have, but maybe other legislators have some that are superior. But nonetheless, as conservatives, we need to be thinking about this and keeping it in our minds as we look at these other needs and expenditures that we'll make in the budgets in the coming legislative session.
Well, and I agree with that. I think that is definitely thematic of where we are right now. And I would even say, this is not a slight at educators, but whereas educators did not miss a single paycheck last year, that many in the private sector did, and businesses struggled. And so I think it's certainly a time to look at how can we benefit taxpayers around this state for assisting in what has turned into a strong revenue position for the state of Alabama. Unlike a lot of other states, we're actually doing really well revenue-wise. And I agree. I think when is enough enough? Government has to give something back at some point. That being said, let me ask you this, though, Arthur. So there's been talk. I've heard legislators discussing the possibility of doing away with the business privilege tax, you know, that tax you pay just for the right to be able to do business. And then another one that I've heard quite often, and the Alabama Policy Institute has been on it, is the idea of lowering or doing away with or phasing out the grocery tax, because Alabama is one of only three states in the nation that still taxes groceries to the level that we do. Your thoughts on those?
Well, I think they're both valid things that we can look at. Personally, I've looked at the grocery tax before. The dollars are extremely high when it comes to going down that path. The two areas, Phil, that I've looked at are raising the standard deduction, which helps the working poor or lower middle class, those that do take the standard deduction in Alabama, on their state return. And, you know, under President Trump, the standard deduction was increased greatly. So on the federal return, I believe a lot of people take that. But in Alabama, what they find is that people making the household income of around $50,000 take that standard deduction. So if we can help people making 50 or less that don't itemize. That would be one targeted group. Then the other would be retirees, and we don't hear much about retirees and people on fixed income like that. But I think that's something that we certainly need to consider going forward, because inflation is here. It's going to even increase, they're projecting, in the months and years ahead. And when you have inflation, those on fixed income with a fixed check, they don't get an inflation increase. So that's something that we need to consider as well. But anyway, I'd like to put it all on the table, and we can certainly craft something that works for our state and that doesn't put us in fiscal peril by overdoing it and then not being able to fulfill our commitments on down the road.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I think one thing that I do believe that the Policy Institute, for one, would be looking at, and I think a lot of other people would, is does it have the impact of touching all Alabamians? And for instance, the standard deduction, like you said, would certainly have an impact, especially upon a certain bracket in terms of income. But there's also a lot of those at the lower income bracket that don't pay taxes at all, so it wouldn't impact them. It'd be a narrow constraint within that margin. But all that to say, and not to get off on the gas tax, but for instance, the gas tax is a tax increase that affected every single person who drives a car in the state of Alabama. I would hope that we could find something that literally says, and here's something that benefits virtually every single person in the state of Alabama. That's one thing that I would love to see, is that the vast surpluses are allowed to be shared pretty much by the entire community, as opposed to just finding one demographic that we can see benefit to. Not that that's bad. We got to do those things too. But I would love to see something that's more broad-based. The grocery tax, not to harp on it too long, I think last time I checked, it was like a $365 million, some years over $400 million impact to the Education Trust Fund. It all goes to education. But that being said, a phase-out, an offset, a reduction would certainly benefit every person in the state of Alabama. Just a thought.
No, I think it's a very good thought, Phil, and I appreciate certainly your sharing it. You're right about the grocery tax probably being the easiest one that we could have that would touch all Alabamians. And again, that's where I think, putting it in the mix and seeing what the will of the legislature is. But, again, assuming we're able to meet our commitments that we have, taking into account the decreasing federal dollars that will be coming in years, fiscal years 24, 25, and then also being on guard about COVID and the impact it may have on our economy, all those things assumed, we have got to put the discussion of tax cuts on the table. And as conservatives, whether it's grocery tax reduction, and focusing on retirees, the standard deduction, whatever your pleasure is, business privilege taxes, we need to have that discussion, and we need to do something that's very meaningful and solid for the citizens of Alabama.
The interesting thing too is you are going into an election year, and not to play too much in terms of politics, but there are going to be some members of the body right now that are looking for a means by which they can put something on their campaign platform and say, look what I did. One of the interesting pieces in terms of tax increases is that Grover Norquist, who many recognize as being, the tax cut hawk in the nation, but Grover Norquist has said, if you can offset a tax increase by a tax decrease, it's revenue neutral, and it could almost be considered non-tax. So what I'm hoping also that we could find is that folks who chose to vote for the gas tax a couple of years ago would also find something by which they can offset the impact of that in order to create that revenue neutral offset that I'm talking about. Coming into an election year, especially, some of those are going to need that on their resume.
Well, that's again a good point, and we just need to make good, sound fiscal decisions for our state. But what I had not been hearing, in light of these enhanced revenues, I really hadn't heard much discussion, or quite frankly, any discussion about a tax cut. So that's the reason I wanted to put something forward and get legislators thinking that we need to have that on the table. We don't need to always be thinking of, oh, yippee, we've got more money to spend this year. Let's just spend. We need to be thinking always where this money comes from. People are sacrificing to send it to Montgomery because it's coming from their own pockets. And we need to, you know, make sound decisions and then send back what's left over. As long as we don't, you know, put ourselves in a deep hole where we end up regretting it. But I think, you know, if the world continues as it is economically here in Alabama, we might very well be in that position.
Well, Arthur, if you don't mind, we've got a short break coming up. Can you hang on during the break? Because I'd like to finish this conversation for a few more minutes when we get back. Is that okay with you?
Be glad to.
All right, man. State Senator Arthur Orr from the Decatur area, representing Alabama State Senate District 3, one of the leaders in the state Senate, chairman of the Education Trust Fund, makes him a budget chairman. We'll be right back after this. Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, here on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Going back to the phones now with State Senator Arthur Orr. Arthur, thanks for hanging on during the break. Listen, I got
to
say,
one
of the things I think that's going to be so important too, I mean, I really do hope that the impetus is growing because of your call. You are among the Senate leadership in the entire legislature, really. Because as we watch what's happening in D.C. right now, a $3.5 trillion spending bill with associated tax increases being proposed right now by the Biden administration, there's got to be something that restores some faith in government in a general sense. And something like a tax cut, at least at the state level, is going to show that you guys are not like those guys, if you know what I mean.
Well, that's certainly true. And I hope, you know, that the tax cut that President Biden has rolled out, or excuse me, the tax increases that President Biden has rolled out will not come to fruition. But, you know, as conservatives, Phil, we always need to have this on our minds, regardless of what's going on in Washington. The people send us so much money. We need to be good stewards with it. Now we need to take care of, you know, our responsibilities and commitments such as, you know, higher ed, K-12, et cetera, state government as a whole. And then after we've done the best job we can and with the most efficient government that is possible, then we need to send the money back. It's that simple in my mind, and hopefully colleagues will see it the same way.
Well, I hope so too, and I think that's going to be a huge deal. Now, I guarantee, and you would know more than I have because you're in the conversations, but I guarantee the Dems right now, even though they're in the minority, are probably calling for these surpluses to be used for things like expanding Medicaid and other things that they typically call for. So what are you hearing right now in terms of, hey, let's spend the money on X and so? What are you hearing?
Well, you know, I was in a conversation earlier today, and the person said, well, the state superintendent of education had put forward an $800 million plan to spend all these excess dollars. And so my point, and that's just for K-12, that's not even higher ed. So my point is, there's going to be plenty of more spend than there is actual revenue at the end of the day when it comes to those just wanting to spend every nickel that we have. And, you know, I've found, Phil, that in education, the spend is unending. There's always, oh, if only we had more money. Now, we need to take care of our teachers. We need to raise their pay. We need to be competitive with our sister states. We need to keep our eyes on the ball and not, you know, lose focus of trying to improve education and attract and retain quality people. But all that said, like I said earlier, at the end of the day, we need to make sure that we always have in our minds, is there a way to send some money back to the people? Is there a way to implement a tax cut and certainly make it permanent and put it back to them, because inflation is here and incoming, and it doesn't take a math whiz to figure out that if a loaf of bread costs $2 and now it costs $2.10 or 20 cents, that the government gets to tax that inflation, that extra 10 or 20 cents
That's right.
on that loaf of bread, and take that money. And so the government's profiting on inflation, you know, coming out of the pocketbooks of people living in our state, of the taxpayer. So all that to say, we just really need to stay focused on this.
Well, you're right. And even as of this morning, I think I saw 5.3% inflation, and it depends upon which form of the market you're in. But by and large, things are more expensive this year than they were last year, with no indications that it's transitional, that it seems to be hanging on. But well, listen, State Senator Arthur Orr, I sure appreciate you calling in today. You are definitely someone who has the ability to provide answers. And I hope that others are going to listen to what you've had to say. In fact, I think what we're going to do is take this this interview time, this time on the radio together, and create a podcast and just send it out to every one of the legislators around the state, so they can hear the conversation.
Well, thank you, Phil. I don't have a publicist or somebody managing getting the word out or trying to push it out, a communications person, so I'll take all the help I can get.
We're here for you on that one, brother. All right, listen, folks, that was State Senator Arthur Orr from Decatur, a member of the leadership in the State Senate, State Senate District 3, and a 100% score on the Alabama Policy Institute's scorecard. Arthur, thanks for calling in. We will be moving through the end of this segment right now. I got to tell you, I just got an email, by the way, Steve Crouch, and I'm pretty sure I know this Steve Crouch. Steve Crouch just sent in, and it's a perfect point. He said he remembers from his public administration studies that if you need an increase in revenue, that you increase the tax base, not the tax rate. Isn't that just common sense? I mean, you would think so. In other words, you expand the number of people who are out there working and doing good things. You don't increase the rate on those who have been in the taxpayer pool for the entire time. And that's a great point, Steve. Thank you for that input. I also just had somebody hit me up on Twitter. Ryan on Twitter just sent me this thing that I thought, wow, there's something I hadn't really ever put in words. He said he can remember thinking that $1 trillion is huge, but when he looked at it, he said $1 trillion, if you had to put it in figures, 1 trillion seconds is 110,000 years. Good Lord. That gives you an idea how far our debt is. 3.5 trillion seconds, like they're talking about spending in D.C. In seconds, 3.5 trillion is 110,984. Good Lord. All right, folks, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, oh, just plain right. We'll be right back.